After listening to William bring his children's talk this morning, I'm just wondering from my reading, has the Lord got a message for you dear folk here this morning? Because I want to read for you from 2 Timothy chapter 4 and from verse number 7. He's already been quoted. And Paul is the speaker. And he says in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Isn't that a tremendous verse? I have kept the faith. Brethren and sisters, keep the faith. Keep it simple. And keep it true. And for goodness sake, stand up for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And may the good and gracious Lord add a blessing to the reading of his own precious truth for his dear name's sake. I want to speak to you this morning on the Christian's course throughout life. Or if you like to use, to change the metaphor a little, the pilgrim's pathway to paradise, to the house of God. And we are all on a journey. It's the journey of life. And if you're a Christian, we don't journey alone, because our blessed Savior has said, lo, I am with you always. I will never forsake you. I will never, ever leave you. But each step of the way, I'll be with you to lead you and to guide you safely home. And so we want to look at this morning with you. The pilgrim's pathway through life. The Christian's course to the Father's house. And I want to look at it under three very simple headings. First of all, I want to look at our past. Once in the past, we were ruined by the fall. But now in the present, we are redeemed. And thirdly, in the future, we shall be with Christ, and we shall be like him. As Christians, always remember this, that we are rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven. We are a pardoned people. But more than that, we are a privileged people. We are privileged to be able to say that God is our Father and the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is our Savior. But we are also a priestly people as we journey through life, because we are priests unto our God. And we have this privilege of coming boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need, in every step of the journey homeward. We have a Savior, a high priest, who ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he's praying for us. We are a pardoned people. We are a privileged people. We are a priestly people. And thank God we're a planted people, because we're planted by rivers of waters. that we might bring forth fruit in season as we traverse this waste howling wilderness here. We can still bring forth fruit for our Savior and for His glory. But then there will come a moment when Christ will come again, when we shall see Him as He is, and He will take us by the hand, and He lead us through the promised land, right to the Father's throne, and He'll say, "Father, these are the children whom Thou hast given Me. They're with Me, that they might behold My glory. I've lost none of them. They're all home, and we're all safe at the end of the journey." And this is why Paul could say, "Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day." First of all, once in the past, we were bruised and broken by the fall. We were ruined. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us very plainly that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were the children of disobedience. And we were walking afar off from God. Once in the past, we were ruined by the fall. We were treading a broad road that was going down to eternal destruction as the children of wrath, dead in sins, afar off from God, and at enmity with God. This is how we once were in the past. You see, we were without Christ. There was a time in our lives when we were Christless. We had no time for Christ because we were living for the pleasures of sin and for the things of this world. We were without Christ. We were Christless. But not only were we Christless, but this book tells me that we were hopeless. Christless. We were without hope. And we were without God. Can you think of your position in times past just now? Dead in trespasses and in sins. We were the children of wrath and of disobedience. We were strangers and aliens to the commonwealth of Israel. And God's wrath was abiding upon us. We were traveling down a broad road to eternal destruction. But thank God, God in His love and grace and mercy, He called us by the gospel. And do you remember the moment when you're all you ventured on Christ's atoning blood and the Holy Spirit entered and you were born again of God? Remember that moment? An unforgettable moment. When you first trusted in Christ. For me, it is over 53 years ago when I first trusted in my Savior. It was then that I commenced the Christian walk, and it's a walk of faith. And as Peter says, we follow the Savior's steps. He has gone before us, and we follow His steps. Thank God for that moment when all we ventured on Christ's atoning blood and the Holy Spirit entered and we were born again of God. That was our past. Once the children of wrath, dead in trespasses and sins, strangers and aliens. And because of this, we were Christless and hopeless and godless until that moment when free grace awoke us by light from on high and legal fear shook us. We trembled to die. No safety and refuge in self could I see. Jehovah said, can you, my Savior, must be. But now, friends, what a change. What a change has come into our lives. What about now? What about the present? We can truly sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child. And forever. I am. Yes, we are all redeemed. Thank God. Through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians that He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His dear love. You see, we are rescued. In the past, we were traveling a broad road. We were in the kingdom of darkness. We were abiding under wrath. But now, when we trusted in Christ, what has happened? We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. From under the power and the thraldom of sin and the captivity of the devil, the Holy Spirit, by the new birth, has now translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. You see, we are rescued. You see, dear friends, we are redeemed. Not with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but thank God with the precious, precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But you see, Paul takes it a little step further. Because the moment that you and I trusted in Christ, the moment that we bowed our knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we prayed, Lord, save me, the sinner, at that moment, we were translated by the Spirit out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. We are now the children of God through faith in Christ, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like thee? His praise should sing. Where did it happen? It happened at the foot of the old rugged cross. For at the old rugged cross, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. So I'm rescued out of darkness and I'm brought into life. I'm redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But take it a step further. At the place called Calvary, my Savior took me with a nail-pierced hand, and He laid hold of the throne of God with the other nail-pierced hand, and He reconciled me to a God with whom I was once at enmity and walking afar off and under wrath because of disobedience and sin. Reconciled. What an amazing thing that is, to be reconciled to God. Now to be able to call God my Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And we are all the children of God. How? Through faith in Christ, on the basis of the finished work of Calvary. Sin has been purged. The hindering sin, the barrier of sin has been removed, and we are reconciled to God. And thank God, in Christ, we can sing near. So very near to God, nearer I could not be, for in the person of God's Son, I am as near as He. Dear child of God, I wonder, do you recognize your position in Christ this morning? You're redeemed, you're rescued, and you're reconciled. But try and get this into your heart and into your mind just now. That Christ is risen. He's seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And although it is not yet a reality for you and me, potentially, spiritually speaking, you and I are seated in Christ in heavenly places. And we are near to God. Sometimes we sing that God is only a prayer away, and so he is, because you cannot be more closer to God than you are when you realize your position in Christ. All you need to do is put out your hand and you can touch God. You can touch the Father. And that encourages us when we bow our knees in prayer. How truly near we are to God. Draw nigh unto God. And what's the promise? God will draw nigh unto you. Have you faith to believe it? The risen Savior, he's here this morning. And he's drawing nigh to you. And he's saying, have faith in God. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And just as we believe in God, believe Christ. For he said, whatsoever things ye ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Oh, what a privilege. Aren't we a privileged people? Aren't we a priestly people? Aren't we a pardoned people? Friends, I'm looking forward to the moment when I shall see my Savior face to face and tell the story, saved by grace, saved by grace alone. Do you see your position on the journey of life, on the pilgrim pathway to the Father's house? Do you see your course through this life to heaven? Friends, we're ransomed. We're rescued, we're reconciled, we are delivered by his precious blood and through his death for you and me. But I want you to see something in Colossians. And this has really thrilled my soul. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. And Paul saith this, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Now note the next little phrase. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Dear child of God this morning, you're rich beyond all measure. And your riches are all in God in Christ. Do you realize how rich you are? Oh, you mightn't have much of this world's goods. But I want to tell you this, friend. You're rich in glory. Rich beyond measure. You're the child of the King. You're the Son of the living God. Have faith. But here's another little thing. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, not only are we rich in Christ, but we are rooted in him. Friends, that's eternal security. Thank God this morning we are planted by rivers of waters to bring forth fruit in season. Are our lives bringing forth fruit for his glory? As we journey through life? Are our lives really telling for him? But go a little step further here. Look at verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, that through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Friends, look at verse 1 of number 3. And if ye then be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You see, friends, we are rich toward God in Christ. We are rooted in Christ, immovable, always abounding in the work of the faith. And thank God, we're risen with him to walk with him in newness of life. You remember what Christ talked about the vine, that he was the true vine and ye are the branches. And Christ says, the branch that is in me that doesn't bear forth fruit, the Father takes it and throws it away. Now get the hold of this. It's the branch he casts to the side. He doesn't cast the son to the side. You see, we have a relationship as we journey through life with God as the sons of God, as the children of God, and that's a relationship that cannot change. But if we are living for self and for self alone, just as if Jesus had never lived and as Jesus had never died, and we have forgotten that we were once purged from our own sins and begin to live for Christ, and we begin to live without him, and we are seeking our own way through life, is it any wonder, friends, if we are cast away as fruitless branches? And you see the importance of this, walking close to the Savior and following his steps. Let me show you this in Matthew, and you'll know the verse very well. And it's Matthew chapter 6, and it's taken from the Sermon on the Mount, or the it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where the moth and the rust corrupt, and thieves break through to steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Someone has said on this verse, heaven's riches are moth-proof. Heaven's riches are rust-proof. And heaven's riches are burglar-proof. Brethren and sisters, are we laying up treasures in heaven? Because the journey, the course through life, it's going to come to an end. And we see our Savior face to face, are we going to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I hope we will all hear him say, well done. And I hope at the judgment seat of Christ will not suffer loss. We'll be saved, as someone has said, by the skin of our teeth. No reward. And I don't know what it will mean to lose a reward. Will we bow our heads in shame when we answer to our name? And finally, in the future, reward it. Are you still in Colossians? And it's Colossians chapter 3, please. And it's verse number 24. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward. Please note the definite article before reward. Ye shall receive the reward of inheritance. For ye serve the Lord's Christ. You see, friends, Christ is no man's debtor. If you walk for him and live for him down here, when you get home to glory, the reward will be sure to you. And that inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. And it's incorruptible and it's undefiled. And thank God, it fadeth not away. What amazing truth. But what will the ultimate reward be? I believe it will be this. Dear child of God, listen to it. Let it reach not only the intellect, but go down 9 inches to the heart. Let it touch your heart just now. When we see him, we shall be like him. I'm going to be like my Savior one day. I'm so unlike him now. I fail so much. Prone to wonder. Lord, I know it. Prone to leave. The Lord I love. But what a reward that will be. We shall be like him. And when he presents us before his heavenly Father with exceeding great joy. Isn't that why he went to the cross? For the joy that was set before him in bringing many sons to glory. And when he gets us home, and he presents us to his heavenly Father, it will be with exceeding joy. The Savior's going to rejoice over you and me. As a matter of fact, he's going to sing over us. When we all get to heaven, and the Savior's standing in the midst of his church, and he will lead the praises to the throne of grace. Oh, my friends, what a voice the Savior must have. Stand aside, Pavarotti. Stand aside, the three tenors. Give place to my Savior. As he sings God's praises in the midst of his church. And friend, we are home at heaven at last. We shall be like him. And we shall be without spot. And he'll present to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. And thank God for each one of us who know and love him. When we awake, we shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. And he's going to present us holy and unblameable. Oh, friends, can we really grasp the depth of this? As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy light. The pilgrim's pathway to paradise, to the Father's home. the Christian's course through life to heaven and home. Now, please allow me a personal illustration of all this as I conclude. In January this year, our dear son-in-law, Adrian, who was the minister of Seaford and Clock Presbyterian Churches, died from incurable and inoperable cancer. And on one occasion, I went to visit him. And he's on his bed. And he knows his end is approaching. And he says to me, "Graham, people will say, who prayed for me and for my healing, that God didn't answer their prayers." He says, "But God will answer those prayers in ways that will be remarkable and even unbelievable to a point. Because you see, at the resurrection of the blessed dead, at the resurrection of the just, I shall be raised. And I shall have a body like unto my Savior's body. And the cancer will not touch my glorified body. In the face of death." I thought that was amazing faith in the Savior. He says, "I will be raised again. I will be changed. I will be translated. But I will also be transformed. I will have a body like my glorious Savior. It will be cancer free. I will have eternal health. And in heaven I will have eternal wealth. And in heaven I will have eternal life. And in heaven, I will be like my Savior." As we journey through life, our pilgrim pathway might lead us through rough terrain, through a waste howling wilderness. But thank God it will also lead us to pleasant pastures and delightful places when Christ will reveal himself and encourage us on the way home. And when we get home, if we have set our affection, our minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, then when we get home to heaven, we'll discover this, that Christ himself will be the center of attraction in the Father's house. Thank God for such a wonderful Savior as Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Lord bless you. Thank you for the privilege of being here. My thanks to the elders for granting me that privilege. My thanks to Denver for leading the meeting. My thanks to you for being here. And I pray that the Lord will bless his word to all our hearts for his name's sake. Closing hymn 177, I'm pressing on the upward way. Thank you.